Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Minutes after 5 o'clock. I finally watched Marriage Story last night. I don't recommend doing this right before you go to bed. I feel like I had a 2-hour fight with my wife last night.
Did you watch it with Marianne?
Good movie. Yeah, we watched together.
See, my husband went to bed. He couldn't take it. He went to bed, so I had to watch the whole thing by myself.
It was good, but it's kind of a downer.
Oh, it's depressing. Very depressing.
I mean, you know, maybe the thing to do is to watch a comedy right after you watch that.
Yeah, you need some relief afterwards for sure. Don't watch it at the end of the night.
Then I was flipping around watching the award shows, the SAG Awards, and then there was an award show. I don't know. I think it was taped, so I don't know when they did this, but I guess it was the first year for the AARP grown-up Movies for Grown-Ups Awards, and all the stars were at that thing, too. I mean, it was another one of those like Golden Globe-like things where everybody's sitting around tables, eating and drinking, and they have the awards. And I thought that was pretty good, too. It was interesting. And the actors and actresses and the directors and everybody seemed to like that idea. An award show that just zeroed in on movies for grown-ups, they called it. So, watched that last night. And I think Elvis was onto something because over the weekend, I had a banana with peanut butter. Now, I didn't fry it up like Elvis did, you know, with butter and bread. But have you ever tried that combo? It's pretty good.
That's good eating is what that is. That's good eating.
Yeah.
No, it's nasty.
Yeah, I love that.
There is a yogurt that I eat that's Greek yogurt. It's peanut butter and banana.
There you go.
And it's like really low in sugar, low in calories.
Did you do the smooth peanut butter or the chunky peanut butter?
Smooth.
Because the chunky peanut butter adds a little extra texture if you want to try that sometime.
Really?
Equally delicious.
Is there a newsroom buffet today, Steve, with bananas and peanut
butter? No. That would be nice, though.
Just coffee cake.
That would be nice.
A couple of leftover coffee cakes in here, if you're interested.
No, thanks. 5:14, and there's a little bit of dusting of snow near the lakefront, and apparently on my microphone here, too. Kind of. We got to get the soldering gun in here. Let's go over to WGN TV, Channel 9, and check in with Judy Wang. Good morning, Judy. How you doing?
Hey, we are outside the Hyatt Regency downtown awaiting the start of an annual event. This is the 30th year of the Martin Luther King Scholarship Breakfast. The mission, of course, is to continue fulfilling Dr. King's vision, which includes helping more young people get an education. This year's event, in particular, will focus on Dr. King's Poor People's Campaign and the efforts to keep that campaign alive. This scholarship breakfast, as you know, draws hundreds of people every year, civic leaders, clergy, politicians, hosted by the Rainbow Push Coalition. It is honoring six people this morning, including the founder and former CEO of Johnson Products Company, George Johnson. The crowd is also going to hear from Rabbi Samuel Gordon of the Progressive Congregation Sukkot Shalom, that's in Wilmette. President Obama appointed Gordon to the Holocaust Memorial Council in Washington. Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday was actually on the 15th. He would have turned 90 years old. We also expect today Rainbow Push leader, the Reverend Jesse Jackson, to discuss poverty in Pembroke in referencing King's Poor People's Campaign. The township in Kankakee County is located about 60 miles south of Chicago. It is considered the poorest community in Illinois, and Jackson, for the last several months, has been fighting to get a utility company, I believe it is an I-Corps, to get a natural gas line installed in Pembroke Township. This scholarship breakfast is set to begin at 8, and a lot of Chicagoans will also spend this day performing community projects across the city, honoring Dr. King in a day of service. Bob?
All right, Judy, thanks. We'll let you get over to the television side at 5:22 almost now. Yeah, there's no mail delivery. Banks are closed today. That's the deal. But we're open for business here at WGN. Bob Surratt with you. And we usually do this around this time. First person to call and get on the radio gets a prize. And the number is 312-981-7200. Dave just called in from Mokena. You're it, Dave. Good morning. Are you there? This is the Earth to Dave. Did Dave hang up on us? He's not there. Hi, Dave. Okay.
Hey, how's it going?
Okay. You busy talking to other radio hosts, Dave? What's going on there?
Good morning. How's it going?
What are you up to at this hour, Dave?
Hello.
Okay, well, this is an interesting conversation. You know, I should have known it was going to be a morning like this because downstairs at about 4:30 in the morning, the entire morning crew down there waiting for an elevator that never came. Well, it came eventually. Mm-hmm. If it didn't, we wouldn't be here right now in the studio on the, what floor we're in?
18.
Is there something wrong with our phones? Is that it? Joe the engineer checking.
Hello?
Various.
Hello.
poor Dave.
Dave's not here. I remember that right, as a comedy bit. Yeah, okay. Hopefully he'll hold on and we'll get to him because we have a nice prize for him for being the first caller on the radio. We have a team of engineers working on the problem right now. Not to worry. Meantime, another Dave is here, Dave Innett. By the way, Dave, I heard you do the basketball game, the Northwestern Illinois game over the weekend. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you do an excellent job.
Well, thank you.
You are really good doing that.
I appreciate that.
It was turned out to be a close game.
It was a close. It was a good game.
It was
a good game. Illinois is good, and Northwestern's a young team that kind of is reminiscent of where Illinois was a year ago. So it was interesting travel weekend.
I bet.
Between here and Champaign, things were a little dicey. In fact, Northwestern needed 6 hours to travel from Evanston to Champaign on Friday.
Everybody's got one of those rush hour horror stories. Yeah. In fact, later this morning, we'll open up the phone lines and let people have at it because everybody's got a good one. Dave may be there now, we're told. Let's try this again. Dave?
Good morning, guys.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hey, Dave, I got a prize for you for being the first caller. Family pack of four tickets to Chicago Shakespeare Theater's The Comedy of Errors, with all the hijinks and hilarity of mistaken identities, performed in just 75 minutes. And after the show, there's a Q&A session with the cast. You can meet the actors in the lobby. It's now playing Saturday mornings through February 29th. Tickets at chicagoshakes.com. And what brings you to the world at this hour, Dave?
Oh, I'm on my way to work, Bob. I listen to you guys every morning. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. What do you do?
I'm a carpenter downtown Chicago.
And are you coming in from the sticks right now? Where are you?
I'm on my way into the city on the Ryan.
Okay. You want to give us a 10-second weather and traffic update from your position?
Oh, it's moving great today.
Yeah, right, exactly. At this hour, it usually is not too bad, and then you've got the Martin Luther King holiday today. And a little light snow, you see any where you are?
No snow by me, Bob.
Lake effect, a little bit downtown here and south of the city and Indiana way. All right, Dave, well, I appreciate your listening and calling, and hang on, we'll get the information we need to get you the prize. You have a good day at work, Dave.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
All right. Hang on now. It's 5:26. Okay. Also in sports, everybody talking about the football games yesterday. Mm-hmm. I, I kind of checked out after the first half, the Green Bay game, but they made it a little more interesting.
Yeah, marginally.
They? Yeah.
Marginally. I mean, I never felt like Kansas City was going to let that game slip away. I mean, they still had control, even though the Packers did narrow the gap a little bit. But, I mean, that could have been more than 27-0 at halftime. That was a whipping.
I turned it on a little bit. A little late, and I couldn't believe the score, you know, just a few minutes into the game. Man.
Yeah, they jumped on him early, and obviously a record performance by Raheem Mostert, who at one time was a Chicago Bear, but
yeah,
just for a short period of time.
Yeah, he was in, like, the taxi squad
or practice
something.
Squad, but he bounced around to a bunch of teams, but obviously has found a home in San Francisco.
Right, and yeah, people are talking about Bears' connections to the games yesterday.
Robbie Gould.
Mm-hmm. Quarterbacks we could have had, that kind of thing.
Well, there is that, and that's you're going to hear a lot about that in the next few weeks.
Yeah, and the headline, though, around here is Blackhawks. They're hot, and Patrick Kane had quite a night, didn't he?
He did. He got the 1,000th point of his career, and it was interesting. Towards the end of the game Saturday night in Toronto, and the Blackhawks were winning, and they were in control, and Kane was out there late in the game, and John and Troy were talking on the radio about, well, here's a great chance for him to get his 1,000th point. And I'm thinking, well, how about tomorrow night at home?
Yes.
And that's how the scenario played out. He didn't get it Saturday night. He got it last night in the third period on a goal by Brandon Saad. So they're hot. And as a matter of fact, Bob, this morning the Blackhawks are 3 points out of a playoff spot. They're 4 points out of a third place in their division, which is a playoff spot, not a wild card. So, yeah, I mean, they have made a big move here in the month of January.
And didn't they do something really cool last night after Kane got the point?
Well, the whole team ran out. They skated out onto the ice and mobbed him, which, you know, the play is still going. But apparently Jonathan Toews cleared it with the officials beforehand and said, we're going to do this. And if he gets his 1,000th point, we want to be able to go out and celebrate with him. And they allowed him to do that. So it was a cool moment.
Yeah, very cool. And let's see, the Cubs convention wrapped up over the weekend, and Sox Fest is next weekend
coming
at McCormick Place.
Yep.
And I guess the big story out of the Cubs convention was fans' reaction to management.
I mean, Marquee Network.
Yeah.
And they kind of unveiled their lineup for that, and I guess there was some question. Tom Ricketts, I guess, heard a few boos when he talked about the new network.
Yeah, but that's mainly because of the few bucks extra that it's going to cost. I mean, we're used to watching the Cubs on free TV here for the last few hundred years.
Yeah.
So,
but really, I mean, look, if you pay for cable, you've been paying for them for a while, and you've been paying.
Sure.
You pay to watch the football games yesterday. I mean, that's just kind of the way the business has changed. But it's a change, and it's something people are going to have to get used to.
Right. It's WGN's fault, all those years of every game on Channel 9.
Spoiled everybody.
Yeah, indeed. Well, thanks for being with us this morning. We've got some interesting stuff for you on the way, including a few medical items related to the extreme cold weather, which apparently is gone for a while. We're going to be warming up for the next week or so, but it'll be back again. Good morning, Bob Sirott at 5:39. Orion has the day off for the Martin Luther King holiday. Checking business today, Chinese pharmaceutical stocks skyrocketed as China reported more than 100 new cases of pneumonia caused by a new strain of coronavirus. A major stock index in China that mainly tracks healthcare and IT companies closed at its highest level in 3 years. The number of vehicles sold across major global markets dipped to 90.3 million last year, according to analysts. The global auto industry plunging deeper into recession in the past year, with sales dropping more than 4% as car makers struggle to find buyers in China and India. And that pain, they say, is likely to continue this year. And a note for commuters here in Chicago, keep this in mind for next weekend. The CTA plan several weekend closures of three Northside Red Line stations to prepare for the massive $2.1 billion Red and Purple Line modernization project. So if you're making plans for the weekend, keep in mind that track and signal construction will require closing the Granville, Thorndale, and Bryn Mawr stations coming up this Friday night, starting at 10 p.m. and through the weekend, through the following Monday at 4 a.m. More service changes along the line will take place nearly all weekends through the spring, according to the CTA. So that's something to keep in mind starting this coming weekend. Got that? Okay. And let's see. We're going to talk to Clarence Page later this morning about Martin Luther King and also a little bit of politics there. Clarence is a good guy to talk to about this because he's the Washington, D.C. bureau chief for the Tribune, and he's back in Chicago sometimes as well. So he's good on discussing the difference between what they're talking about and thinking in the Beltway and what the rest of us in the real part of America are doing. We'll get to that later today. And also, Clarence has some thoughts on Martin Luther King, as does a very famous photographer who took pictures of Dr. King for Life magazine. He's got some very interesting stories to tell. We'll talk to him a little after 7 o'clock today. And we'll talk to you about what happened on Friday during the evening rush hour. Everybody showing up today talking about, yeah, it took me 23 hours to drive Friday night. Usually it's a 10-minute commute, but because of the weather. So we'll hear from you later today. And share some of those stories at 312-981-7200, which is also the text number, so you can text those stories to us as well. Are you feeling a little out of sorts more than usual on Monday morning? Well, perhaps this is why. The third Monday in January is widely acknowledged as the gloomiest day of the year, although this Blue Monday is not backed up by science or any serious studies. You don't need to be an expert to recognize January generally is not good, particularly Mondays. And for some reason, there is a lot of discussion about this third Monday of the month being the worst. You find that to be true?
It is today for me. I can tell you that.
Yeah, I know.
That is weird. It's like, what's the reason, really? You know?
Yeah, I think, you know, you get deep into January and it just...
The weather, you can't feel an end coming at all.
Mm-hmm, yeah, it's all frequently the coldest part of the year and the darkness gets to you. Although, slowly but surely now, you notice it's getting lighter... Wait a minute. Later, earlier.
Earlier.
Mm-hmm. Later, earlier, yeah. So maybe that's it. But they have a list here of things that you should do to combat this. Buy a bouquet of tulips in your favorite color or buy a plant. Now, that I can understand. This one makes no sense. Declutter a small space, such as a junk drawer. I guess that does make you feel better, doesn't it?
That does. If I tackle a closet, I feel really good afterwards.
At least temporarily you feel better, right?
Yeah, because I can go buy more stuff, more clothes.
And then they talk about mood-boosting foods that you should be eating this time of year if you're down, a little bit depressed. Fatty fish, like wild-caught salmon. Supposedly now the farm-raised fish is not that good for you. And when I go to the store now, I'm instructed not to buy farm fish, buy only the wild fish, which cost about twice as much. Berries of all colors, supposed to be good for you. Dark leafy greens like kale, spinach, and Swiss chard. Avocados, pumpkin seeds, fermented foods like kimchi, sauerkraut, and kefir. Cruciferous vegetables like cauliflower and broccoli, cabbage, Brussels sprouts, oysters, organ meat, mussels. There's your list of things to combat the depression of the third Monday of January. You want to take a few calls? Why don't we move through the morning and do this? If you've got a good horror story from the Friday evening rush hour, we'd love to hear from you at 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. This was everybody's story over the weekend, was how long it took to get home or get where you're going on Friday night. And a lot of places allowed workers to leave early Friday with the storm. And as Steve mentioned, we may be in for it again next week. This has been a pattern lately, hasn't it? Because once again this weekend, they're talking about a storm system moving in Friday evening and continuing to drop some snow on us Friday night and Saturday morning. We're not going to get the extreme cold this time, though. Friday and Saturday temperatures in the 30s. So we have that to look forward to coming up over the weekend. Anybody here have a good rush hour horror story Friday? I fortunately was home, and I didn't go anywhere on Friday once I got home Friday afternoon. Dave, you had to travel.
I traveled, but I left here. I decided, hearing the forecast, I would get out ahead of the weather, so I drove down to Champaign before the weather got bad. And as I mentioned, the Northwestern basketball team traveling from Evanston left around 5 and got into our hotel in Champaign at 11 o'clock Friday night.
Man.
I mean, that's just the worst. I mean, I've been on those trips where you're sitting and you're just not moving. And Mary, I think you back me up on this. I-57 and I-65, those north-south routes where it's open, you've got farm fields on either side.
Just blows and blows.
And just the snow blowing across the highway, and you hit these spots where it's just white out, or the road gets covered really quickly.
It's tough.
Yeah, driving back Saturday after the game, now the snow had stopped, the road was clear, trying to keep the car going straight in that wind was really something. And you saw the trucks kind of fishtailing.
Yeah, and you had the bitter cold then coming in.
Yep.
Yeah, and Mary, you'd know this over there in the traffic center. You get to a certain temperature, and the salt doesn't really work, right? It's not effective when you get below a certain temperature, I think.
Yeah, it's pretty dicey. I think it's like, isn't it like 31 or something?
I don't know, but the extreme cold makes it difficult to salt those roads, have that chemical work properly anyway.
And I went to a party that night, and I just had to go, you know, a couple of miles, but I had fun because I have four-wheel drive, so it was like, oh, this is kind of fun out here. But then I knew people that were driving in the roads. I thought, you know, the main roads.
Yeah, we got to a restaurant Friday night, which is normally very, very crowded up in the suburbs on Friday night around 6 o'clock or so, and we got right in. There was nobody there, and then about 7:30 or so, people jammed the restaurant because they finally made it home, and they weren't going back downtown on Friday night. They wanted to stay up in the burbs, so it was populated by then.
I bet you the pizza places did really well on Friday night.
Yeah,
so everybody's like, "That's it. We're just staying home and ordering pizza, watching TV."
Speaking of that, we have a little restaurant news here. The Rosebud Restaurant's opening a new location to attract both office workers and tourists. It's going to be right down here, not far from our building at 303 East Wacker, Michigan Avenue and Randolph in Prudential Plaza. And that's the space where Tavern at the Park was. Remember that place? Mm-hmm. They were there for about 12 years. They closed last year. Rosebud's menu will revolve around Italian food and steaks. The concept is evolving, according to the Tribune. Rosebud operates restaurants in the city and suburbs, specializing in Italian food. So they're going to be open at Michigan Avenue and Randolph in the Tavern at the Park space, Prudential Plaza. A Rosebud down there. I think they should do well down there.
Well, I think just from people here at WGN walking over at lunchtime.
We'll support it.
Sure.
Yeah, I think so.
Be a good neighbor.
All right, so as we move through the morning, and time permitting, we'll get to your rush hour stories from Friday. 312-981-7200, the number on that, 312-981-7200, or you can text us. The email machine is up and running at this new address here. If you want to reach anybody on the show, Steve in the newsroom, Mary at the traffic center, Dave on the sports desk, you can email our program this way, bobshow@wgnradio.com. Bob Show. There's a BS in the middle of that. Not Bob's Show, just bobshow@wgnradio.com. Okay, so we'll get the email going. And let's see what else we got going on today. We'll check in with Adam Hogue today, Bears Insider. We'll be talking about football, and now we have 2 weeks to go, right, for the Super Bowl.
Yes, we do. You're going to hear everything you want to know about the Kansas City Chiefs and San Francisco 49ers, and then some.
Yeah, and then some is right. Wow.
That's a great, I mean, it's a good matchup, though. This is going to be a, you know, most of the Super Bowls, we always had the idea that they weren't good games.
Mm-hmm.
But they really have been, for the most part, pretty good games in recent years, if you go back.
Yeah, they have been.
You know,
they
a few clunkers here and there,
yeah,
but for the most part, pretty good.
And it's the only time where a lot of people go to the bathroom during the actual program and come back for the commercials. Yeah. So there is that, too. And let's see, what else was I going to mention? Oh, yeah, the Blackhawks tickets. They're hot, and we've got some tickets to give away this morning after our 7:30 news. We have tickets to see the Hawks play the Panthers. That's tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night, which is the return of Joel Quenneville.
Yes, that's right.
So it's going to be a big night.
That'll be fun. And what have they won now, five?
Well, they've won five in a row. They have won 9 of their last 12. They're 4 over .500. They're moving on up.
All since the Surratt family attended the game. That
well, not,
turned it around.
Not all, Bob, but a good number of those wins.
I'll take the credit.
I don't think they've lost since you went.
That's true. It's 10 after 6 on the crime beat this morning. Front page of the Tribune, headline: robberies up sharply in Swanky near North Side. Police strengthen their presence. Residents and tourists concerned. And we'll be talking about this story today. They're talking about Streeterville, the Magnificent Mile, River North, the Gold Coast, some of the city's most affluent neighborhoods being the scene of increased robberies. I was talking to a friend of mine, and I don't know if this happens a lot, but he parked in a permit parking area, and he was just going to be sort of into a restaurant very quickly and out, and he figured, well, I'll risk it. And he, the good news is he didn't get towed. The bad news is someone stole his license plate. So I'm
really?
Yeah, I'm wondering if it was this a crime of revenge. Or does anybody know if this happens a lot? What a headache that would be, huh?
Yeah, that.
What did it say, his license plate?
Well, no, I think it wasn't a vanity plate. No. It's just a plate.
Just a boring plate.
Yeah. 6:12 almost now. We were talking about the Cubs convention, and I see that the Cubs named Lee Smith as an ambassador. And he's a very funny guy because apparently at the convention he said, "Yes, I'm an ambassador now, whatever the hell that means." and also they were asking him about the scandal, the Major League Baseball sign-stealing scandal. And he said that they've still got to pitch and play. You know, even if they're stealing signs, they've got to go on the road and do things like that. And then Lee Smith said, when I was in Chicago, I remember the guys saying about the Cubs, they've got something going on out there in center field with the clock and the scoreboard. They're doing something out there. And then Lee Smith would say, you do know we lost 96 damn games last year. And I was not aware of this rule change. I guess starting this year, relief pitchers have to face at least 3 batters.
Yes.
You can't come in and pitch to one guy anymore.
Right. This is one of the new rules that goes into effect this year. Just to cut down on those endless innings with 6 pitching changes, where managers tend to overthink it a little bit sometimes.
Right, and that really does slow down the game.
It does, but an injury would be the exception. But basically, a pitcher's got to face at least 3 batters.
Although, if they really want to speed up the game, they have to do something about the replay. That just takes too long, don't you think?
Well, I think they've made efforts to speed it up. I think it's getting better, but I think that they still have a ways to go. I mean, I'm a proponent of when you can use technology to get things right, you should do it, but mm-hmm. you have to do it in a timely manner. And if you have to watch it 20 times to figure it out, then obviously yeah. it's not indisputable video evidence or whatever the terminology they use.
Yeah, that's true. Although I'm one of those guys, I say make the game longer. When I get out there, if I have a break from work, and it's a nice day. Let the game go on forever. I don't care.
What about that day in April where it's about 42 degrees with a 30 mile an hour wind? Do you really want to make it longer?
No. There's a game where you're glad there's not eight pitching changes in one inning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, everyone.
Now the top six at six with Bob Sarras on WGN Radio.
We do this every morning around 6:18 or so. Here we go. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has said he expects the impeachment trial to begin in earnest tomorrow. Earlier this month, McConnell indicated that he has the votes to set trial rules that do not require calling new witnesses. The Senate is expected to vote to open the trial first, then vote at some point later on whether to subpoena witnesses and documents. McConnell told reporters, "We have the votes. We'll get around to the discussion of witnesses." And the New York Times editorial board has endorsed Amy Klobuchar and Elizabeth Warren for the Democratic presidential primary.
Now, page two.
Super Bowl 54 all set. The Chiefs will take on the 49ers in Miami on Sunday, February 2nd. That game is on Fox. And that usually starts, around kickoff, like usually after 5:30.
Kickoff is right around 5:30. And the pregame show starts tomorrow.
Yes, it does. And right here it starts after our 7:30 news. Adam Hogue will break down the championship games, preview the Super Bowl with us. That's coming up right here. I lost interest in football when the Bears dropped out. I'm slowly getting interested again now.
You mean dropped out of contention? They didn't drop out of the NFL.
No, I dropped out of the NFL.
I got you.
Yeah, but you know, long about Super Bowl Sunday, I guess I'll be watching.
They were great. These playoff
games have
been good,
and it's going to be a good matchup.
Yeah, it will be. It should be a really good Super Bowl.
And always fun. And now we'll start seeing the commercials ahead of time, too. That'll be going on now, right?
But, you know, when the game comes around, you've already seen all the commercials.
Yes.
Right? So, I mean, it's sort of...
That's why it's worth the money for these advertisers, because they get played ad nauseum.
Right. They get played in newscasts. They get played on the radio right here.
Yeah.
They get seen online.
Yes.
But during the actual Super Bowl telecast, probably not as much.
True.
Page 3.
was that Paul Harvey with laryngitis on that one? Wow.
From his last newscast ever.
Oh, no kidding. Really? Yeah.
Or at least that's what it says on YouTube.
Oh. I think we got to go for the young Paul Harvey on these breaks, don't we? That's how we want to remember him. Anyway, this year's flu season is shaping up as a harsh one in Chicago and across the country, particularly for kids. More than 900 lab tests in Chicago for the flu have come back positive since the end of September, compared with 240 during the same time period last year, according to the Chicago Department of Public Health. The actual number of flu cases is likely much higher because not everyone gets tested. And what did I see here? The parents of young children need to take it particularly seriously this year. One Chicago child has already died. So that's a headline this morning.
Page 4.
Oh, yeah, he does sound different there, doesn't he? Wow. Yes, let's go for Paul, you know, from his bar mitzvah years. That might sound a little better.
Okay.
Starbucks said they're expanding their effort to put more coffee shops and create more jobs in poor neighborhoods. Starbucks plans to open or remodel 85 stores by 2025 in rural and urban communities across the U.S. Each store will hire local staff, including construction crews and artists, and will have community event spaces. The company will also work with local United Way chapters to develop programs at each shop, such as youth job training classes and mentoring. Has anybody opened up a Subway yet inside of a Starbucks? Has Subway become more ubiquitous than even Starbucks now? I think so.
Yeah, there are a lot of them. Yeah. But there are some Starbucks which are attached to like Potbelly.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So I don't think you'll see Starbucks and Subway opening up together.
They have a good milkshake, by the way, at Potbelly. I
remember when my kids were little, I used to taste it once in a while.
It's good.
Page two.
Oh, that's younger. I like that one. Robberies are up in Chicago's Near North Side, as we mentioned, raising residents' concerns. Hundreds of concerned citizens huddled in Chicago's Gold Coast neighborhood at a meeting, hoping for answers from police about the recent increase of robberies in the downtown area and other parts of the Near North Side. Robberies have more than doubled in the last 5 years.
Page two.
And as we mentioned, from service events to concerts and celebrations, there are a lot of great events happening around the city today to celebrate the life and legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. We'll talk to a photographer later this morning who took some very historic pictures involving Dr. King and his marches. And a little later, the Pulitzer Prize-winning columnist and member of the Chicago Tribune's editorial board, Clarence Page, will talk to us about Dr. King, and also about black voters and where they are in this year. That's all coming right up, right here.
And that's the way it is.
This has been the Top 6 at 6 with Bob Sirois on WGN Radio.
Text at 708, go with the typewriter carriage and ding instead of the crumbled paper. Or Paul Harvey. Still work in progress. We're still working on the production elements here. Not to worry. 6:25 almost right now. WGN 312-981-7200. If you've got a good rush hour horror story from Friday, everybody coming in today talking about how long it took them to get from point A to point B on Friday night with that storm. And we may get a replay this weekend. They're talking about not cold temperatures, but messy stuff. Snow again starting on Friday night. So that's something to look forward to. And on the entertainment scene, this is interesting. Do you watch The Crown? Dave, you watch The Crown?
I saw like the first couple seasons, I think, or first season. My wife's been watching it. I have not watched it.
I'm a Mary, big fan of The Crown.
Steve, you watch
big
it?
Big fan.
I love it. I made it, like Dave, 1.5 seasons. I have to get back to it.
Yeah, I got hooked in that first season, and then I'm behind now in the second season. But we like it. And there's a story today about The Crown and how viewers could see Prince Harry and Meghan's exit coming with some of the things that they're covering in that program. It was a little disconcerting when they changed the cast, but they had to show the older queen after. Was that right after season one, I think, when they changed up?
After two, I believe.
After two. So it took a little getting used to. But that's a good show. But who has time to watch all these programs now, all these streaming shows, and when do you watch them? And I'm still trying to figure out how to get the Apple Plus in our house.
I haven't figured that out.
The morning show. I want to watch the morning
too.
Show.
I watched it. And we talked about it with Dean. I liked it. Dean was kind of lukewarm on it, I think. But it's entertaining, and it's look, Reese Witherspoon and Jennifer Aniston are both really good in that. And
Jennifer Aniston won an award last night, SAG Award.
I tried over the weekend. We have the smart TV, but I guess I'm dumb because I haven't figured out how to get the Apple Plus. They should make it easier, shouldn't they? Really? I mean,
well, you can get it, but the question is, how do you get it on your TV? That's your issue.
Well, right? Well, as opposed to what, my toaster?
Yeah. Well, no, your iPad or laptop.
Yeah. Right. That's easy. Yeah. Mrs. Surratt said she could get it on the computer.
Yeah. Bob, I have the same problem. I don't know what's going on. I'm like, which network is it? Where is it? Do we have it? I don't know.
Well, the smart TV, we just bought it, and you know, it's got, you hit the apps, and then there is the Amazon Prime and Netflix, and you just click in there. And you're in, but not the Apple Plus.
Well, pull it up on your computer, and then use an HDMI cable, plug that in, connect your computer.
You already lost me, Dave.
I'm gonna call the TV repairman, so he'll come over, and you know he'll have that mirror, so he can be behind the set and look at the front of the set, yeah, and bring some new tubes, and maybe we'll get it going that way. And now, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care, we have the Chief Medical Officer for Northwestern Medicine with us, Dr. Kevin Most. Good morning, Doc. How you doing today?
Good morning, Bob. I'm doing pretty good for a Monday morning.
Yes, we're all trying to get there. And let's talk a little bit about cold weather. And we just went through it over the weekend. Another week or so, it'll be back again. And this is the weather I remember as a kid growing up in Chicago. You had the snow, and then you had extreme cold. And everybody's giving you tips on how to survive. And I know you've got some good things to say about this, other than the common sense tips that we all know. I love it on television when they give you advice like, it's going to be cold tomorrow, better wear pants. Yeah, well, I knew that. Yeah. You know, tell me something I didn't know. And I know you've been looking into this, and you're big on function over fashion, aren't you?
I am, you know, Bob. You know, if you went down to Ogilvy or, you know, any of the train stations here, and you see the people coming in from the suburbs to come downtown, and they have to walk from the train station to work, just kind of look around at what they're wearing on their feet and what they're wearing on their head and what they're wearing on their hands. You know, yesterday, like you said, we kind of get this year we've been pretty lucky, but we're going to have to get ready because if you remember the polar vortex from last year, you know, temperatures of 20 below they're going to be here. We're going to have it again. So, yeah, wearing the right clothes, function over fashion, is probably one of the easiest things to do. A lot of people like to wear gym shoes. You know, I'd say, oh, I wear gym shoes from the train. Well, gym shoes are made now to breathe, so, and they're not waterproof. So they may be a little bit more comfortable, but certainly not the best footwear to wear as we start to see the temperatures we're going to see here over the next month and a half.
Boy, I noticed that over the weekend, navigating through the slush after the temperatures warmed up, and I had some old running shoes. I figured that would be a good idea. It really wasn't.
Exactly. You step in one puddle, and now all of a sudden your socks are wet, your feet are wet and cold, and now you still have to go to wherever you're headed with wind chills of 20 below. Disaster waiting to happen right there.
True that you lose most of your heat in your body through your head, and that's why you need to always wear a hat?
Isn't that funny? Remember your mom always said that? You know,
yeah.
Hey, wear a hat. You know, that's where you lose all your heat. And it's interesting, you know, the study was done in the 50s with military individuals, but they didn't tell everybody that those same military individuals had gloves on, had coats on, had shoes on. The only part that was exposed was their head. So certainly in that study, it showed that a lot of heat was lost through your head. Now, that being said, our scalp is very vascular, so we do have an opportunity to lose a lot of heat through our scalp and a lot of heat through our head, but it certainly would be just as high as if you went barefoot or without gloves on, that you'd be losing a lot of heat there. But it is extremely important to wear hats at this time of the year.
Continuing with Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer for Northwestern Medicine at 647. Doc, you know, I run outside all year, and I never used to wear gloves. Now I have to wear gloves because it seems like my fingers are more susceptible to being frozen. Does this change as we get older? Is that what's happened to me here?
Yeah, a couple things happen, Bob. One is with the season, and one is we get older. So as we get older, we start to lose a lot of our fat and essentially our insulation that we need to keep our hands and feet and the rest of our body warm. And then our circulation decreases as well as we age, so we don't have as good of circulation all the way out to the tips of our fingers. Now, I would say I'm a big guy, if loyal listeners will know, I'm not a big fan of gloves when it's cold. I'm a big fan of mittens. So gloves really don't work as well as people think they do. What you really would rather have is a mitten so that your hands can insulate and keep each other warm versus the gloves where you're going to hope that whatever material you have around your fingers is actually going to work. So I am a huge proponent of mittens. People say, oh, they look crazy. They look, forget about it. Function over fashion. We want to make sure that we're going to keep those fingers warm because that's one of the higher points or higher chances of frostbite that we have.
Yeah, good to remember today, even though it feels warm because of what we went through over the weekend, but high today only be about 23 or so. And I know you, you've written about smokers and diabetics being at higher risk for frostbite. Why? Why is that?
Yeah, again, it comes down to circulation. We know that people that smoke tobacco, when they smoke tobacco, actually their arteries and veins kind of clamp down. So we already know we have decreased circulation there. So that's the smokers. And they actually have a higher chance of any blockage in any of their arteries, not only in their heart, but in other portions of the body. So that's the big thing there. Diabetics, the same. Diabetics, from a vascular point of view, in other words, the blood flow point of view, it's a microvascular disease. In other words, when you get way out to the tips of the arteries, they're starting to be affected more. So you have decreased circulation. That's why they get problems with their nerves. That's why they can sometimes get problems with their balance as well. So those are the individuals we really want to make sure we do everything we can to protect them from any exposed skin when we get these cold temperatures.
What's the right treatment for frostbite? And how do you know that you have frostbite as opposed to just some fingers that got too cold?
Yeah. So, you know, everyone has probably had frost nip. Your skin feels a little tingly. It kind of itches a little bit. But frostbite is actually when the water in the cells actually freezes, and your fingers or your tip of your nose or your ears will get hard, and you lose sensation there. They can actually be painful at times, but that is when we're much more concerned. And Bob, think about it. When you walk in from the cold, what's the first thing you normally do with your hands?
Put them under warm water.
Well, that's what you're supposed to do, right? But what do people do? They walk in and they rub their hands together and they say, boy, is it cold out, right?
Yeah.
Worst thing you can possibly do if you have frostbite, friction certainly does make more heat and would actually warm us up, and it's fine as long as you don't have frostbite. But friction, when you have frostbite, does more damage to cells and nerves, so that's one thing you don't want to do. You want to do exactly what you said. You want to warm them up under warm water, but you as the individual shouldn't be testing the temperature. Someone that's been in the house, someone who knows what that temperature is, because your sensation is decreased, and you can actually burn yourself by putting it under too hot of water.
Right. Seems like people are more concerned with their animals than themselves sometimes. I mean, you see folks walking dogs in extreme cold weather. I saw it over the weekend. They don't have a hat or gloves on, but the dog has,
on
the paws. Yeah, a sweater and mittens on the paws.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about shoveling snow, too, because, I mean, it's common to hear the warnings, be careful, but I don't think people really realize how dangerous this can be, do they?
It's extremely dangerous. You know, individuals, especially, you know, you're here in Chicago, we had a snow at the Halloween, and we just had this snow this weekend. And if you shoveled on Friday night, it was great because it was still pretty light and fluffy. But then as it warmed up Saturday, it got to be a fairly heavy snow. So a couple things with snow shoveling. One, it's very stressful on our heart, especially people don't think about, I'm going to warm up, I'm going to exercise, I'm going to stretch before I go shovel snow. They just go grab the shovel and go. So their heart is put into an immediate stress by lifting the amount of weight that they do. That, and from a body mechanics point of view, it's terrible, right? We have this big increased weight 3 feet in front of us, and we're throwing it as far as we can. So what happens? People get back pain, they get chest pain, they get shoulder pain, they get short of breath. Now, wait a second. Those are the same symptoms we get with heart attacks. So you've probably heard of people saying heart attack snow with these heavy snows. These are the individuals that we're concerned about. Are the symptoms that you're having while you're shoveling snow due to just muscular problems because of bad body mechanics? Or is it actually your heart telling you, hey, wait, stop, don't do this. You know, you're stressing the heart too much.
And I know that you've got an example of just how much snow we shovel when we think we're just doing a regular driveway or a walk. It's unbelievable how heavy that really is with the wet snow, isn't it?
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, you take a normal driveway, you know, 16 by 30, and then you get a little bit, let's say you get a foot of snow. You're moving 4 tons of snow as you shovel all that. So you think about that, walking out of the house, cold temperatures, now all of a sudden you're doing 4 tons of snow moving that. And we know that even 15 minutes of shoveling snow is considered moderate to heavy activity, and it is very stressful, like I said, on the heart as well as on the back. This is one of those where look for that 16-year-old, 14-year-old kid in your neighborhood, give him $20 and have him shovel your driveway.
Good idea. We may need that next weekend because they're talking about another snowstorm coming in here, of course, on Friday night, just in time for the rush hour. And before we let you go, Doc, are we past the danger zone as far as the flu is concerned? What's going on? Because over the weekend, I was hearing a lot about especially type B influenza.
Yeah, so we're starting to see a decrease, which is interesting. So we've seen a decrease the last 2 weeks. So that's good. And the numbers will come out here very shortly from the CDC. If we see another decrease, so the third week in a row, then I say, boy, at least we're dodged and we're starting to see the decrease in type B. Now we keep our fingers crossed and hope we don't get a big bump up of type A, you know, here in a week or two. But right now it looks like now it looks like the numbers are coming down. So a very unusual flu year.
Well, and what's the difference between type A and type B? I think it was a year or two ago that I had type B, and I thought that was not as severe as A. Is that right?
Correct. Type B is usually much more mild than type A. Type A can really get into our lungs and cause more problems. Type B is more of a inconvenience, I'll say, for most people. However, it really impacted children very hard this year and some seniors. So for the most part, type B is a little bit more mild than type A, but this year it kind of hit us pretty good, and it hit us unusually early with the type B.
And because not everyone gets tested, the actual numbers of flu cases probably much higher than what we talk about, right?
Absolutely. I could tell you, I saw patients last Tuesday, and I did a flu test on my first patient. I got a positive. My next three patients, I'm like, you know what? They have the symptoms. I'm going to treat them. I'm not even going to do the test. So that could have been four more tests. But now physicians are knowing that it's out there, and it's out there in great numbers. So if the timing is right for them to get Tamiflu, Relenza, one of those medications, then why go and do a $100 test to prove something that you already know clinically? So we start to see those numbers drop once we know that the outbreak has happened.
And we see and hear the headline, parents of young children need to take it particularly seriously this year. When you're talking about young children, what ages are you really referring to?
Yeah, you know, when you look at like 6 and under, you're really concerned. So this year, not only did we get type B, but we also got RSV, which is a virus that really hits younger kids, you know, 2 years old and below. It can hit others as well. But children who are asthmatic, diabetic, and those under the age of 6, really be really careful there. Hopefully they've been vaccinated because, again, they're going to school. Well, today they're not, but they go to school, and parents will send their kids to school sick often, which is unfortunate. But unfortunately, that also spreads through the entire school at that time. So keep your kids at home if they're sick, and get them vaccinated if they haven't been vaccinated yet.
There's your weather and flu report from Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer for Northwestern Medicine. Good talking to you as always, Doc, and we'll catch up with you again next week.
You got it, Bob. Take care.
All right. Have a good day.
Thanks.
Observing the birthday holiday today for Dr. Martin Luther King, the actual birthday, January 15, he would have been 90 years old. And with us this morning to talk about Dr. King is a professional photographer, and he has produced some of the most innovative and powerful audiovisual presentations on fair and affordable housing in this country and images of Dr. King. I'll say good morning to Bernard Kleina. Good morning, Bernard. How are you doing today?
Good morning, Bob. I'm doing fine. I do feel a little guilty after listening to the doctor that you had, because I don't wear gloves, a scarf, a hat. I don't even zipper my jacket, so maybe I'm going to have to start behaving myself.
Now join the club. Before we get into your impressions of Dr. King, both personally and via photograph, give us the 30-second background on Bernard Kleina and how you got to the point where you were taking pictures of Martin Luther King.
Well, I got involved in civil rights in Selma, Alabama in 1965. And I went back to Chicago, and Dr. King later came to Chicago. And I saw the way that Dr. King was treated. There was a lot of criticism of him, saying that he was the one causing the violence and the disruption. And so I wanted to try to document photographically what was actually happening. Now, why I thought I could do that, I don't know, because before I photographed Dr. King, I only photographed family and vacations, and that's why I shot Dr. King in color.
And where have these photographs been shown?
They've been shown really all over this country. They're at the Smithsonian in Washington. They've been to Dublin. They've been to all the major cities in this country.
And what is your favorite of all the pictures you took of Dr. King? Do you have one?
Well, I really like the one of Dr. King and Coretta. I took that photo in Grant Park in Chicago, and that's probably my favorite.
We're talking with photographer Bernard Kleina, who has taken historic pictures of Martin Luther King. Were you able to have any personal interaction with him, Bernard?
Sadly, no. I, as one can see from the photos, I was very close to Dr. King physically, but they're all often in somewhat hostile conditions or very busy conditions. And so I thought, well, all right, I can't meet him today, but I can meet him tomorrow. And then suddenly tomorrow never came. And it was such a big disappointment for me.
Yes, I can imagine. This photo that I'm looking at now, and we should be able to post these on our website, right? WGNradio.com. There's a picture you have of Dr. King, and in the upper part of the photo, someone is holding up the Sun-Times with the headline about the march on City Hall in Chicago. Tell us about that picture.
Well, the Dr. King was actually criticizing the Sun-Times, and that's why they held up the newspaper. The Sun-Times predicted a low turnout for Dr. King when, in fact, LaSalle Street was completely filled with people. And so that's, well, that's another photo of mine that I like a lot because it tells so much.
And most of the pictures that I'm looking at now, you have a very pensive, serious-looking Dr. King. As you were close to him so many times, did you notice the other side of him? Because people close to him would talk about what a great sense of humor he had, but we tend to always have these images in our head of Martin Luther King as being quite serious. What did you observe?
Well, it depended on the occasion. In Soldier Field, when I photographed Dr. King, he actually smiled a lot. But in front of City Hall, in Grant Park, in Marquette Park, I didn't see many smiles. In fact, in Marquette Park, he was hit in the head with a rock. And I have a photograph of that also. But it was a very difficult time for Dr. King, and that's why I wanted to document what was going on.
And talk about this picture you have. There is a car in a gas station, and the car is surrounded by people throwing things. What's going on here, and where and when was this taken?
This photograph was taken the day of the largest march of Dr. King in Chicago. and this car and gas station were just about a half block off the march. And it's just a case of being in the wrong place at the wrong time. It was a black family in the car, and the punks around were throwing oil cans, wooden cases of Coke. They broke his taillight. And in the next photos that I have of that, he the car raced off, so they weren't hurt too bad, but still it was a very intimidating venture at that gas station. And and why they were treated that way, I guess they were treated that way because Dr. King was treated that way.
Right. And one of the most impressive photos that you have here, I'm looking at this shot. It looks like you're up high taking this. Tell us what street this is. There's a sign in the foreground of the picture, Bourne Chapel. And then on the street, a mass of people. Talk about this one.
Right. Well, this is in Marquette Park on Kedzie Avenue, and I was able to get up on the roof of a funeral home there and to get a better perspective of the marchers. And Dr. King is in that march. You can't see it in the photo. You can't see him in the photo that I sent. But he's there along with other civil rights leaders. And it's here that they received a fair amount of protection from the Chicago Police Department, which wasn't always the case.
Did you experience any violence yourself trying to get these pictures?
Yes. I was sometimes in a position where they were throwing rocks and bottles and cherry bombs, and so you had to dodge all of that while trying to take a few photos, and it was a very difficult time for me and for everyone.
And we're talking about 1966 here, is that right?
1965 and 66, yes.
Bernard Klein, a professional photographer. He has produced some of the most innovative and powerful audio-visual presentations on fair and affordable housing in the country. Tell us where we can see your work, Bernard.
You could go to Bernard Klein Photography. That's my website. Or if anyone wants to contact me, I can be reached at KleinaPro@AOL.com.
And that's Kleina, K-L-E-I-N-A.
Correct.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your work and appreciate you getting up early and talking to us this morning here. Have a good day.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you very much. It's 7:24. Coming up, we'll give away some Blackhawks tickets. Big game tomorrow night. They are hot, as we've been talking about this morning. Patrick Kane with a milestone. And I love how they orchestrated the little ceremony from the players, Dave. And that, you say, was planned ahead of time? Somebody had to get the okay?
Jonathan Toews. Yeah, so
he set it up.
He and Jeremy Colliton said he had planned to do it the night before in Toronto if Kane got his 1,000th point there, but obviously that didn't happen. So they figured, I think the all night last night everybody was waiting for it to happen, even though the Blackhawks were winning and Kane didn't have a point until their fourth goal of the game.
So what's the story now as far as the playoffs? How far out are they in terms of getting in?
Well, again, I mean, this was their, let's see, their 50th game last night. So they have another 32 games remaining, but they are 3 points behind. It's a very tightly bunched crowd fighting for the wild card spots. They're 3 points behind. Vegas and Arizona currently are tied, and they hold the two wild card spots. And then the Blackhawks are 4 points behind Dallas for the third spot in the division. So they're right in the mix there. And they'll play Florida tomorrow night, Bob, and then they get the All-Star break. Now, Kane's playing in the All-Star game, which, by the way, we're going to carry here on WGN Saturday night. But then they don't play again until the following weekend. So they've got pretty much, starting tomorrow night, they've got about a week and a half off. So that, it, you know, in a way, I guess if you're hot, if they win tomorrow night,
they're going to want to play
again the next day. But at this point of the season, it's not bad to have a little extended break.
And Coach Q coming back
tomorrow
night.
Which will be really interesting, and he's going to get a great reception, no doubt, considering he won three Stanley Cups here, and he's one of the great coaches in NHL history. The numbers speak for themselves. So,
did I hear right that this is the first time he's been back?
This is the first time he's coming back. Yes, as you know, now he's the coach of the Florida Panthers, who are playing very well. They're a hot team. But they're playing on the road tonight at Minnesota, so it's the second of back-to-back road games for them.
All right. Well, we'll give away a pair of tickets to that game coming up, and I think what we'll do is just pose a question after the 7:30 news that has to do with something we just talked about. And if you call in and know the answer, you'll be a winner at 312-981-7200. We got a text at that number from 708. I just wanted to say a huge thank you. Last Monday, I won Hawks tickets from you, and I got to go see Kaner score his 1,000th point. It was amazing, and if it weren't for you, I could have never been there. I'm so grateful. Mary Jo. Well, there you go. Another satisfied customer right here at WGN.
Radio Chicago,
good morning on this Martin Luther King Day, 7:38 with Bob Surratt. Only essential servants of the community working today, policemen and women, fire department personnel, EMT folks, morning TV anchors, disc jockeys, radio hosts. Good to have you with us today. Before we get to some Bears talk with Adam Hoag, sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com, we have a pair of tickets to give away to see the Blackhawks play the Florida Panthers tomorrow night, courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. For all the right reasons, Four Seasons. Find them online at FourSeasonsHeatingAndCooling.com. Here's our question. First caller in with the right answer gets the tickets. And just call if you can go tomorrow night, okay? Who is returning to the UC for the first time since his departure? Who's returning tomorrow night? 312-981-7200. All right, now let's get to Bears insider Adam Hoag and Dave Innitt and talk a little bit about football. And are Bears fans still talking about the quarterback we almost had and the running back we did have? Hi, Adam. How you doing?
Hey, yeah, good morning, guys. That's going to continue forever and ever, it seems like. But I'd like to point out that as much as everyone's going to talk about Patrick Mahomes over the next 2 weeks, that some of us, pointing at myself, were pounding the table for the Bears to draft local kid from Arlington Heights, Jimmy Garoppolo, back in 2014. He's starting for the other team in the Super Bowl, the San Francisco 49ers, and the Bears could have had him in the second round that year, but instead, former GM Phil Emery drafted Ego Ferguson, who probably many Bears fans have already forgotten, the defensive tackle out of LSU. That was 11 picks before Jimmy Garoppolo, who went to Rolling Meadows High School in Eastern Illinois, ended up with the New England Patriots, and they, of course, traded him to San Francisco a few years later, and now he's also in the Super Bowl. So this is going to be a painful game for Bears fans, as most of this playoffs have already been watching.
Yeah, but Adam, Jimmy Garoppolo only completed 6 passes all day yesterday.
I know.
He only threw 8.
But you know what's interesting about these two teams? The Chiefs kind of represent what Matt Nagy wants to do in Chicago. That was the scheme he came from. But what Kyle Shanahan's running out there in San Francisco isn't all that different. It's a West Coast-style offense, except there's just a little bit more emphasis on running the football, and he's doing that with the personnel he has. And the irony to me is that seems more like what the Bears should be doing with Mitchell Trubisky, having Jimmy Garoppolo only throw the ball that many times in a game. Now, that's an extreme example because they were right in the lead, and obviously that's just the way the game played out, but I love what the 49ers have done with Garoppolo, because Garoppolo is not as talented as Mahomes is, but they're both good and they're both running their offenses the right way. And I'd love to see more of what the 49ers are doing really, because I think that just fits what Trubisky can do well.
They had over 180 yards rushing against the Vikings last week, 285 yesterday against the Packers, and it just seemed like every play, George Kittle was knocking somebody on his butt, and there goes Raheem Mostert for a big gain and consistently, I mean, four touchdowns. But it was also kind of bold the way they did it. They ran the ball on third downs and got first downs out of it.
Yeah, their first touchdown was, I think, a third and eight, and they just ran a beautiful draw play that was called perfectly by Kyle Shanahan, and more importantly, executed perfectly. Man, those were some massive holes that Raheem Mostert was running through. By the way, also former Bear. Yeah,
well, okay, that's because that's what everybody's asking. If the Bears had Raheem Mostert, and I know he played in two games for him in 2016, yeah. He was a practice squatter, but I realized that he was not at the time. They had Jordan Howard, some other guys. I think Jeremy Langford maybe back then. But again, it's not just the Bears. I think a half dozen teams gave up on him.
Yeah, that's a totally different conversation. To be honest, I honestly when I saw that kind of circulating again, it had to remind myself that he was on the Bears, and I had to go back and look at his NFL page to remember when that was, because you know he was an afterthought down on the roster, had already been on four or five other different teams. Now, it did work out that once the Bears let him go, I think it was in November of 2016, because he was just sort of on the practice squad, ends up getting cut loose, the 49ers pick him up. But it's worth pointing out that even in San Francisco, it took him a couple years of, you know, riding the end of the roster and even some of the practice squad, I believe, before he ever became what he is now. And I think that that's just an extreme example of a guy developing late and being in the right situation with the right coaching. So it would have been a completely different situation had he stayed in Chicago. So I don't think Raheem Mostert would be what he was last night if he had stayed with the Bears.
And by the way, Bob, he played at Purdue. I don't think, I remember seeing him play, I don't think he started a game. He was a terrific kickoff returner for the Boilermakers. He wasn't drafted, and now here he is, head to the Super Bowl. Pretty good story.
Yeah, it happens. More from Dave Ennett and our Bears insider, Adam Hoge, who will be featuring Eagle Ferguson on his popular podcast very soon, I'm sure. and this is Joanne hanging on from Northbrook. Joanne, you were the first caller in with the right answer to our question. Congratulations. You're getting some Blackhawks tickets.
Great. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. And Joanne, tell everybody what the answer is. If you weren't listening, we were just talking about this. Who is returning to the UC for the first time since his disappearance?
Coach Quenneville.
Ding, ding, ding.
That's correct. And you will be there tomorrow night. We've got those tickets. See the Hawks and the Panthers. Have a good time. Who are you taking to the game?
My husband.
Does he know yet?
No, he doesn't.
All right. Well, he'll have a good day for sure. Appreciate you paying attention, Joanne. Have a great day. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Bob. Okay, thank you.
Thank you very
much. Just remember, the fans will be queuing, not booing.
That's right. Always remember that. By the way, Ro Khan gives away another pair of tickets this afternoon, so listen in every Monday for more chances to win tickets to Blackhawks games from Four Seasons. And now, more football talk with Adam Hoge, sponsored by ChevyDealersChicago.com. Dave?
Well, is there any more exciting a player in the NFL right now than Patrick Mahomes? I honestly, Adam, I can't think of one.
No, and I think he's held that title now for 2 years. Yep. Because last year was such a sensation for the way he bursted onto the scene and was only one game away from the Super Bowl last year, and this year the Chiefs get the job done. And you know, I thought Tony Romo did a pretty good job on that broadcast yesterday, of especially at one point breaking down how it appears sometimes that Mahomes, when he's looking downfield, where his eyes are, most quarterbacks are looking at the receivers, and he seems to actually be looking at defenders that are nearby, trying to look them off of where he's actually throwing the ball just a few feet away. He has such an unbelievable ability to do that than most quarterbacks don't have. It's just at a next level. But beyond that, the biggest difference between Mahomes and Trubisky really is just the way he reads coverages downfield, especially zone coverages. Trubisky's actually really good against man defense. It's just he struggles to see the field the same way that Patrick Mahomes has. And unfortunately, that's not necessarily something you can always see when you're scouting these guys coming out of college. It's just something they either sort of develop or don't at the NFL level. And Mahomes is right now incredible. He absolutely is.
The Chiefs defense got better as the year went on. The 49ers defense is at an altogether different level. I know they gave up some plays in the second half, but that was Aaron Rodgers, and B, they already had a 27-0 lead before they really allowed Green Bay to do anything yesterday. The thing that would concern me a little bit about Kansas City is just the starts they've gotten off to, because, you know, you can't always expect to spot the other team a double-digit lead and think you're going to come back and win, especially when you're playing in the Super Bowl.
Well, they got away with it yesterday, and I thought it was risky, because Tennessee is a lot like the 49ers in that the Tennessee's built to win if they have a lead early on in games. Now, I think ultimately the talent factor just sort of won out, especially with the game being played at Arrowhead, and the Chiefs were able to come back and just, you know, they sort of just proved they were the better team over the course of four quarters. That's a dangerous proposition, though, against the 49ers, because the 49ers might have the better team. You know what I love about San Francisco is, you know, the Chiefs still look like, to me, a good team that has some flaws but are riding on the quarterback, which you can certainly do in the NFL. We see it all the time. If you have an outstanding MVP quarterback, you can win a Super Bowl. You can win multiple Super Bowls, even if you have some flaws. But to me, the 49ers are the most complete team in the NFL. On both sides of the ball, they just they can get away with winning a game like yesterday where Garoppolo's hardly ever throwing it. And so if the 49ers get off to a lead in the Super Bowl, it's going to be hard for the Chiefs to come back. And I think that that's a great point by you, Dave. And something that will probably be broken down a lot over the next couple weeks before the game.
We were talking earlier about the matchups, Bob, and how some years people look at the Super Bowls as being, you know, it's a really good matchup, or this looks like it's going to be a blowout. If you remember last year, the 49ers and the Rams and the Patriots, that game was 3-3 in the fourth quarter. And the next day, all the talk was, what an awful Super Bowl. What a terrible game it was. But it was a tie game in the fourth quarter. It was a defensive struggle. And ultimately, the Patriots ended up winning it. But, I mean,
hey, the TV guys love a game like that.
Yeah. I mean, why wouldn't you? I don't think this is going to be a 13-3 kind of a game. Do you, Adam?
No, and I think I already read somewhere that the over-under is up near 50, and that would be in the top 10 Super Bowls ever. So they're expecting points in this game, and I think that that's fair, especially with the Chiefs involved. They don't have the best defense in the world, but they have the best quarterback in Patrick Mahomes. Yes. So there's going to be points scored.
Hey, guys, at what point do the stories start about Aaron Rodgers? Will he retire? Are we going to be hearing about that now?
You know, there was an interesting quote after the game from him last night where he said this year he was able to have fun again. I thought that was a really interesting quote, because it was sort of also an admission that the last couple of years he was losing that fun factor. Now, part of that was, of course, because they didn't make the playoffs, and this year they did. But to me, that tells me that he's still got some years left in him, and the Packers they're going to be competitive. They have some things they got to get over in this offseason. I think they were somewhat flawed this year on their way of winning 14 games. But I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to be going anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, I watched that first half. I said this to Dave earlier this morning. I turned it on late. I was surprised by the lopsided score, and then I turned it off at halftime. But I guess I missed a little bit of action from the Packers, didn't I? Not much, though.
Yeah, I mean, he has a knack for always, even when they're losing, he'll bring you back with some big plays here and there. And that's what they did. They got into Aaron Rodgers needs to throw the ball downfield mode, and they completed a couple of them and managed to score a few points. But it was very obvious from start to finish in that game the 49ers were the better team, as it was when those teams played back in November, and the 49ers killed them from start to finish. The 49ers deserve to be in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, those two games were probably the low points of the year for Green Bay for a 14-win team.
And now 2 weeks of sidebar stories. Adam, are there enough to talk about?
You know what? It's painful. There's so many Bears angles in the Super Bowl. You know, you can even go back to draft night with Mitchell Trubisky. Obviously, the Chiefs end up with Mahomes. That's the obvious one, but it was the 49ers who they traded with to trade up, and they gave the 49ers a bunch of draft picks. And John Lynch has done such a good job there in San Francisco building this team. Robbie Gould is their kicker. Last year, I was on Radio Row at the Super Bowl talking to Robbie Gould about how he wanted to come back to Chicago and be a Bear again. Now he's in the Super Bowl with the 49ers. So it might be a painful couple weeks for Bears fans, unfortunately.
Yeah, pretty soon we'll be hearing about the ex-Bear factor like we hear about the ex-Cub factor. Right? Super Bowl coming up on February 2nd, so we have 2 weeks to wait. And that's Hard Rock Stadium in Miami, a Fox game, 5:30 p.m. or so for the kickoff.
Which, by the way, is also the stadium where the Bears played the Indianapolis Colts, just for the record.
Yeah, all right. All the Bears tie-ins. Okay. There you have it. Adam Hogue and Dave Ennett. Adam, you want to plug the podcast, which I know is very popular?
Yes. We'll have a new episode tomorrow, actually. WGNradio.com. You can find it there. It's called the Hogue and Johns Podcast, and that's where all my writing is up there as well.
Thank you, sir. Have a good day.
All right, have a good day, guys.
Coming up, we'll check in with the Daily Mail folks and get the entertainment news, including those big winners at the SAG-AFTRA Awards last night, some Oscar hopes for Parasite, and Hank Azaria quitting on The Simpsons. Yep, that's coming up in the weekend box office, too. How you doing this morning? It's almost 10 after 8. Dean Richards is on vacation, so watching the entertainment scene for us this week, senior news correspondent for Daily Mail TV, Alicia Quarles. Good morning, Alicia. How you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. Let's talk first about the award show last night, the SAG Awards. These are the awards that are sponsored by the union that the actors are all in. And what was the big story? What was the headline out of the awards last night?
Well, the big headline was Jennifer Aniston and Brad Pitt reunited. So both of them won last night. And they basically, backstage, when Jennifer Aniston was making her acceptance speech, Brad Pitt stopped everything he was doing, and he was seen filmed watching her acceptance speech. During his acceptance speech, he kind of did a dig at Angelina Jolie, his ex, saying that he was going to add this picture of him at the SAG Awards to Tinder. Then it was really a moment backstage between Aniston and Brad Pitt that got everybody talking. Reunited, they were chatting, and as she went to walk away, he grabbed her arm, and, you know, looks back at her, so everybody's thinking, oh, my gosh, are they finally going to get back together?
Yeah, I saw a reaction shot of Jennifer watching the speech that Brad Pitt was giving, looking very lovingly at him. Everybody's talking about that, aren't they?
Everybody said they are actors, of course. They could have just been giving us a moment either way.
Yeah.
It was fun. I'll take it. And then I think another big moment was Joaquin Phoenix when he won. He actually gave a nod to Heath Ledger, who also played the Joker in The Dark Knight. So that was another big moment at the show.
And I'm looking at some headlines today that say Oscar hopes alive for Parasite after the SAG Awards win. Is that a good predictor of the Academy Awards?
And the SAGs are an excellent predictor for the Academy Awards. The Golden Globes, not so much, but typically if you win big at the SAG Awards, you're going to take home that trophy at the Oscars. And of course, Parasite is a movie that's been buzzed about, and finally really getting its mainstream awards and acceptance. So it's a big one to watch.
And there's another awards show that I guess is not televised, the Producers Guild Awards, and the World War film 1917 was a big winner. The Sam Mendes film won the award for theatrical motion picture. Saturday night out there in Hollywood. And I see the box office here in Chicago, 1917 was third, Doolittle second, Bad Boys for Life was number one at the box office. Doolittle got some of the worst reviews I've ever seen, but yet it was number two.
I think the parents were just trying to get the kids out of the house.
Must be, yeah.
Yeah, to your point, 1917 is now the Oscars front runner after the Producers Guild win, so you're spot on.
Coming up, we'll get the Royal Report of the morning. We can't go more than an hour without talking about the Royals. And something from Justin Timberlake to report on, and also Tim Tebow in the Entertainment Report. And we will continue momentarily. Daily Mail TV senior news correspondent Alicia Quarles is with us talking entertainment while Dean Richards is on vacation. Alicia, you mentioned Brad Pitt and also Joaquin Phoenix on the SAG Awards last night. We have that audio. Want to hear it?
Let's hear it. Absolutely.
All right. Here's Brad Pitt first.
Let's be honest. It was a difficult part. A guy who gets high, takes his shirt off, and doesn't get on with his wife. It's a big stretch. It's big.
Nice. And also Joaquin Phoenix from last night.
When I started acting again and going to auditions, I'd always get to like the final callback. And I think many people know what that's like. And there would always be like two other guys that I was up against. And we'd always lose to this one kid. And no actor would ever say his name because it was like too much. But every casting director would whisper in there, "It's Leonardo. It's Leonardo. Who is this Leonardo? Leonardo, you've been an inspiration for over 25 years to me and so many people. I thank you very, very, very much."
I think everybody was expecting some rambling, incoherent speech, but that was pretty good from Joaquin Phoenix last night, wasn't it?
It was pretty good. And to your point, he usually does make those rambling speeches. Or I've interviewed him before. You kind of walk out scratching your head. But I think Joaquin's focused, and he wants that Oscar. So he's doing everything in his power to stay on track and on course.
All right. We can't go a morning without a royal update. What's the latest on that?
Well, the latest is that Prince Harry went out to the Sensible charity, where he actually spoke out. Now, this charity supports children's mental health who are living or dealing with HIV. Of course, that was a cause close to his mother's heart. But during this charity visit, he actually addressed everything that's been going on. And he says, listen, quote, "The UK is my home and a place that I love that will never change." He also went on to say, "I know you've come to know me well over these years, and trust the woman I chose, my wife, upholds the same values as I do." And he talked about how they still wanted to serve the Queen and the Commonwealth. They just didn't want to do it with public funds. But unfortunately, that just wasn't an option. So they feel the best option is to become, quote unquote, private citizens.
All right, let's move on to another, I don't know if we want to call them a couple, but Justin Timberlake and Jessica Biel are in the entertainment news. What did they do?
They are in the news. So, you know, they've had some scandals the past few months. Justin was down in New Orleans, and he was seen getting pretty cozy with a co-star of his, Alicia Rainwright. So people were wondering, are they separated, he and Jessica Biel? Are they broken up? Well, they're saying not so fast. They put on a very public display of affection in New York City over the weekend. We're all smiles for the camera as they stroll down the street. So I'm sure that these were some setup shots. Let the world know they're still together. They're still very much married.
All right.
I guess all's forgiven.
We're relieved. Okay. And on the love beat, what's Tim Tebow up to?
Well, Tim Tebow is in South Africa right now, and he just had his engagement dinner with Demi Lee Nail-Paters. That's his fiance, who's also Miss Universe. So they are down there getting hitched. And Tim Tebow, being Tim Tebow, they said in lieu of gifts, they want everybody to donate to one of his charities.
And finally, we mentioned this. Explain why anybody would ever want to leave The Simpsons. I don't know whether you have any inside info on this, Alicia, but Hank Azaria is going to quit voicing Apu on The Simpsons. He says he has no plans to continue voicing that character. But that isn't to say the Indian immigrant convenience store owner Azaria brought to alive for 30 years won't live on. Have you guys heard anything about this?
Well, you're spot on. This is correct. After 30 years of voicing Pooh in The Simpsons, he says he's not doing it anymore. And Azaria said what they're doing to the character is their call. He said of the showrunners, he said,
said to them, they haven't sorted it out. We all agree it's not the voice anymore. He won't do it anymore. So that part's confirmed. We just don't know if somebody else is going to take over doing the voice, if they're going to just, you know, kill the character off, or if they're going to address some of these issues people have been having, saying that this just promotes racism and stereotypes. But, you know, Hank's made a lot of money off of it for the past 30 years, so he'll be okay.
And are we done with the awards now until the Oscars, or is there more coming up?
There's more coming up. We're still in awards season.
Yeah.
So next weekend, we've got the Grammys. So you get a little break from the movies and the TV show, and we flip it over to music. So next Sunday, we've got the Grammy Awards, and we'll just keep trekking along until the Oscars in February.
I'm still trying to make sense of that story about the president of the Grammys Association, or whatever her title was, being removed or stepping down. What did you make of that story?
Well, we're still trying to make heads or tails of that story as well. We've got sources in there, so hopefully I can give you an update later this week on it. But that's a confusing one, and even we in the entertainment industry haven't gotten to the bottom of it.
Well, all right. Good to hear I'm not the only one. I mentioned earlier that last night we watched a Marriage Story in our house, and it's let me just say, it's not a good idea to watch that right before you go to bed. I feel like I had a two-hour fight with Marianne. Have you seen it, Alicia?
You know what? I have not seen it because, to your point, as a divorcee, everybody's telling me don't see it. It might stir up some emotion. But they say never go to bed angry when you're married. So I'm holding off on seeing it.
Yeah. Instead of Marriage Story, I think they should have called it Divorce Story. But, I mean, it was great, and the direction was great, and the acting was great, and it probably will win some Academy Awards, don't you think?
That's all the buzz, that it's going to win some Academy Awards, so I'll certainly watch it before the Oscars. But then also, there's so many good movies out there. There's Uncut Gems. Have you seen that one yet?
Not yet. No, I need to see that. Yep, I need to see that. Yep. I mean, the talk is Adam Sandler's great, but the whole movie is getting some good buzz.
Exactly, and this is a script that he had for 20-something years and couldn't get it made, and finally did, and I never thought I would put Adam Sandler and awards in the same category, unless we're talking about the Razzies. So that's supposed to be good. Marriage Stories, there's a few more that I've got to catch up on, and I highly recommend Bombshell if you haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, I saw that. That was good. I still need to see The Irishman, too, on
it's
Netflix.
Long.
Yeah, 3 hours. Everybody's talking about that. Some people love it. Some people hate it. But I think I need to see it. Alicia Quarles from Daily Mail TV, thank you. And you can catch Daily Mail TV on WGN TV weekdays at 3 p.m. All right, Alicia, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good one. It's almost 8:25. If you have a good leftover rush hour horror story from Friday, give us a call, 312-981-7200. Everybody coming in today, those who are working on this day, talking about how it took them 9 hours to take what usually is a 10-minute commute Friday night. We'd love to hear your story about that. Coming up before we check out at 9. We'll talk to Clarence Page coming up after our 8:30 news update. Clarence is the Tribune's guy in Washington, the Pulitzer Prize winning columnist, member of the Tribune's editorial board. We'll talk to him a little bit about Martin Luther King in Chicago, and also about what's happening with black voters in this country. Interesting headline from one of Clarence Page's columns the other day. Black voters appear to be closing their 2020 enthusiasm gap. We'll get to that also coming up this morning. And once again, our phone number and text number is the same, 312-981-7200. If you are emailing, it's bobshow@wgnradio.com. bobshow@wgnradio.com. And in the sports world, we're all talking about the Blackhawks. They're hot. Kane got a milestone and a great celebration last night that apparently Dave was all orchestrated by Jonathan Taves, wasn't it?
That's the word, yeah, that Taves decided they would all leave the bench area and mob Patrick Kane when he got his 1,000th point, and he got it last night. It puts him in a very select group, Bob. Think about it. 90 players in the history of the league have reached 1,000 points. Only 4 Blackhawks have done it, and the other 3 are all in the Hall of Fame.
And the Hawks, Hall did it. Makita did it, right?
And Dennis Savard.
Dennis Savard. Yeah. Wow, that's unbelievable. And Kane is still so young. I mean, he's still got a long way to go.
Yeah, he's done it 1,000 points in 953 games. So he's on a pace of you know, more than a little over one a game. But he said he was asked last night, what's his goal now? He's 1,001.
Yeah, I know. Good answer. He's been behaving himself lately, too, right? We don't hear about him off the ice like we did a while.
Not for years.
He's grown up.
Yeah.
And
we all do, right?
Well, we hope.
I'm working on it.
Major League Baseball's scandal. Not really anything new to report today. No. I'm still going with my rumor about Jose Altuve that you're going to hear more about that. But it looks like for now, nothing further from MLB, huh?
Not so far, no. But this story is not going to go away. And when spring training opens here in a couple of weeks, it's all going to kind of percolate again.
Yes,
it
will.
Be the way to put it.
Yeah, the Sox Fest next weekend at McCormick Place. The Cubs had their convention over the weekend. And I was amused by Lee Smith, the great Hall of Famer, who was introduced as an ambassador now. He's rejoined the organization. I guess he had been coaching, right, before this, but not with the Cubs.
Yeah, I think he's done some.
And apparently, yeah, he was a minor league pitching instructor with the Giants. And I had to laugh. We were talking about this earlier because they were asking Lee Smith about the scandal. And he said when he was in Chicago, a lot of people were saying about the Cubs, you guys have something going on out in center field, don't you, with the clock? Are you stealing signs? And Lee Smith would always say, hey, remember, we just lost 96 damn games. So, really? Do you think we're cheating? He always surprised me, too. I was lucky enough to do a long video interview for the Cubs with him, and I had never met him before. I sat down with him, and I really wasn't expecting a very sort of super friendly, super funny guy, because he was always so intimidating when you saw him on the mound.
He was. He was that big hulking figure. You know, he was Big Lee Smith.
Yes, he was.
But he's a gregarious kind of a guy, and he'll do well in this ambassador's role.
Yes, good choice for that. Mm-hmm. All right, coming up, we'll talk to Clarence Page and more right here at WGN. Thanks for joining us this morning. Stevie Wonder's song for Martin Luther King's birthday, which actually was the 15th, wasn't it? Would have been 90. It's 8:38, and with us this morning is Pulitzer Prize-winning Chicago Tribune columnist and a member of their editorial board. Good to talk to Clarence Page again. Good morning, Clarence.
Good morning, Bob. Happy King Day.
Yes, same to you. And are you and I the only people who associate the term outside agitators with Richard J. Daley and Martin Luther King? Because it was 1966, the summer of 66, and Dr. King's in Chicago. There are demonstrations, and the mayor was not happy, was he?
Not at all. It was a time when Mayor Daley felt like, you know, what's King doing in my city?
Yeah.
He needs to be down south with all those rednecks or whatever, you know. So he was very resentful, and he gathered a coalition of black ministers who were sympathetic to his side, who had been done favors by the Democratic machine and whatever, who had a news conference and told the world, you know, they could give a message that there was no need for Dr. King to be here. You know, we're always happy to see you, but still, you need to work down south, not here. We're taking care of our own affairs. It was a kind of resistance that the movement had not seen in other cities it went to. And Andrew Young would later say that the kind of violence they ran into on the southwest side, in particular at that time, over the open housing issue, was greater than the violence they'd run into down south, which came mostly from the police. Here it came mostly from civilians, and the police were protecting the civil rights marchers.
Yep, on the west side, July 66, Dr. King was struck by a rock, and afterward, here's what he said. I have seen many demonstrations in the South, but I have never seen anything so hostile and so hateful as I've seen here today.
That's right, that's right. It was very dramatic. You compare the footage of what happened on the southwest side then with what happened in Birmingham and Montgomery down south, where they had demonstrations where the fire hoses were brought out in Birmingham, and the police dogs trying to keep black folks from registering to vote. It's a striking contrast, and really signals a message around the world that suddenly caused 100 years of segregation fall with the passage of the Civil Rights Act in 1964, in 67, the Open Housing Act, Fair Housing Act, and 65, the Voting Rights Act. All of those actions had reversed 100 years of Jim Crow segregation, and we now look back upon that as the Civil Rights era, because so much civil rights reform was going on.
And it was January of 1966 that Dr. King and his family moved in here. They were living in Chicago for a while so he could be closer to the movement. Remember that?
That's right. And that really pushed the movement ahead to a large degree. Actually, what happened, Dr. King moved in on the west side, and it brought worldwide attention to this inner city ghetto. It was a popular term then. Today, folks don't like to use that. It sounds too pejorative, but at that time, King wanted to draw attention to the housing gap, as well as the income gap between blacks and whites. I'll never forget his later speech, his final speech for the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, where he said, "Let us be divinely dissatisfied as long as the outer city of wealth and hope is separated from the inner city of poverty and despair." Hmm. Today, I think we would say, let's be dissatisfied until the inner city of gentrification is separated yeah. from the outer city.
Exactly.
There's really an amazing difference that has happened. I tell people that Dr. King made the inner city safe for white people to live in again. Black folks get upset when white folks move out, and we get upset when they move back in. So that's what's happening now.
Clarence Page, I want to talk to you, Clarence, about a column you wrote a while back, headlined "Black Voters Appear to Be Closing Their 2020 Enthusiasm Gap." Hang on a second. We'll take care of some business here. And by the way, are you in Washington, or are you back home today?
Today, I'm in Washington, closer to the scene of the crime, you might say.
Yes, you are. Yeah, I want to talk to you about that, too. Hold on. We're talking to Clarence Page, the senior member of the Chicago Tribune editorial board based in D.C. Clarence, are you pundits in Washington more obsessed with impeachment than the rest of us?
I would say so. That's downright comical, how much... folks here can't stop talking about it. And when I go back to Chicago, you all are concerned about such little matters as trying to balance the city budget and try to save the schools, and which alderman has been caught with their hand in the till,
Yeah, exactly.
Real news, as we say in Chicago.
Yeah. I was listening to some folks over the weekend talking about how most Americans, and especially true when you get away from the beltway there, are not following this as closely as the media folks would like to believe. Agree?
That's right. That's right. And this is not really new in the sense that before I moved to Washington, I seldom watch Washington Week in Review after Chicago Week in Review was over,
Yeah.
But here, every week I watch it. It's like sitting in on somebody else's dinner party where they're all talking about their local affairs. But in the case of Washington, the local affairs have an effect on the whole rest of the world.
Yeah, that's why that show starting this summer from Chicago on WGN America might have a better perspective, certainly a different perspective, since it'll be coming here from the great Midwest. Clarence, I want to ask you about that column you wrote a while back. Black voters appear to be closing their 2020 enthusiasm gap. Exactly what is the enthusiasm gap, and what did you mean by that?
Well, I'm talking about turnout in a good old-fashioned terms. It was quite a story when African American voters actually had a higher turnout rate in 2012 than white voters did. That's the first time in American history when that has happened. Then in 2016, the big shock of Hillary Clinton's loss to Donald Trump. When you look close at it, one of the reasons was that the black turnout had settled back to where it had been before Barack Obama came along in 2008, and that made enough of a difference, especially in the upper Midwest, Michigan, Wisconsin, Ohio, Pennsylvania, that enabled Donald Trump to win. And that's because the black voters are by no means a majority of the voting population. They're still a minority, but they are a very high percentage of black voters vote Democratic, and that's what's made the difference in the past. And by not inspiring those voters, Hillary Clinton lost. And so now we're seeing a lot of more activism than before. Just like in 2018, you saw a big surge of activism among Democratic and Democratic-leaning voters, and that enabled the Democrats to take the House back. And we're expecting another big turnout this year, and certainly the polling in advance of that shows black voters are indeed saying, when you ask them, are you likely to vote? After they answer the question about what their preference is, many more are saying that they are likely to vote than before.
And how has this affected has it affected the job approval ratings among black Americans for Donald Trump?
Well, Donald Trump has improved slightly. I mean, a few points, and not as much as might be warranted if everybody believed what he says about having brought jobs back and having improved black unemployment to where it is at record lows. And indeed, it is at record lows. And I think if it weren't for a lot of other factors with Trump, the way he has shown something of a casual indifference to the kids in cages along the border, for example, he has indeed implemented some federal prison reforms, but at the same time, his civil rights division has pulled back on its enforcement efforts of voting rights, they're discussing now some possible pullbacks in their housing discrimination, which is ironic because Donald Trump and his father were found guilty by the federal government back in the 1970s of discriminating in their apartments in New York. So a combination of things over time, I'm afraid Kanye West's efforts may have had some impact on improving Donald Trump's black popularity by 1 or 2 percentage points, but not much more than that.
I forgot that meeting.
many people have.
Clarence Page won the Pulitzer Prize for commentary. Clarence, spending most of your time in Washington, D.C., as you do now, how do you get in touch with the folks outside the bubble when you're writing and thinking about reaching outside the beltway there? What's your trick? How do you stay in touch? What do you do?
Well, the internet helps a lot, but it's not the same as being there. I try to get back as often as I can because there's just nothing like Chicago politics and Chicago news and Chicago sports. It is really something that, my wife and I often say we will drive up to Baltimore sometimes just to feel a real city again. Baltimore's so much more like Chicago than Washington is. Washington's more more like a big college town with the town versus gown attitudes, and the everybody cares about what's happening in the president's house, and it's just a very unreal attitude, which is part of why people were so surprised when Donald Trump was elected, because it just didn't fit into the usual matrix of thinking here.
Yeah, whenever I'm in Washington, I always think of the line, if only the government worked as good as it looked, because it is a pretty place,
that's
isn't
right.
it? Yeah.
Very pretty. We could stand proud against Paris, Rome, all the rest of them.
Yes, we do. It's Clarence Page, Tribune. You have any ideas on what you're working on for this week yet, Clarence?
It's been interesting to see. I'm waiting today to see what happens with the impeachment trial because you cannot ignore something like that. But as we were saying earlier, most of the country isn't following the day-to-day granular progress of this thing, especially when everybody seems quite convinced that it's going to end up in acquittal for lack of votes on the Democratic side. We'll see about that. But nevertheless, it's something that just dominates the news right now. It's going to be covered. People will be watching it across the country. So I've got to do my regular job, which is to try to make sense out of it all.
Yeah, good luck with that. Well, if you want to get in touch with the common man, you can call me anytime. Day or night, Clarence, I'm here.
Bob, I do appreciate it. You are a stalwart pillar of Chicago arts and politics.
Oh, yeah. That's me. Always good talking to Clarence Page. You have a good day, my friend, and we look forward to talking to you from time to time here.
You too, Bob. Thank you very much.
Clarence Page, Washington, D.C., Chicago Tribune. John Williams is here. John, I have something for you if you want to do Friday night rush hour horror stories. Everybody talking about, it took me 12 hours to go 1 mile Friday. So feel free to use this.
I got caught in the rush hour.
Yeah, I know. Do you have one of those stories from Friday night?
Friday, I do not.
You were home? You're safely ensconced, not on the road?
No, actually, I went to the Old Town School of Folk Music. They had three virtuoso Hawaiian guitarists. It was so weird because they were on the stage, these guys from Hawaii wearing shirts and lace playing Hawaiian music.
Nice.
The show sold out. Half of the people couldn't make it because of the ice. Towards the end of the show, the guy goes, "You've been great." That was my Hawaiian accent. I don't know if I pulled it off. He said, "Now we have to drive to Cleveland because our flights have been canceled." It was a bad day for Chicago.
Yeah, a lot of folks had a rough time traveling, but we've recovered today, and we've got the holiday, some light traffic, and what have you got for the kids?
Be careful out there, by the way. It's still slippery, and you might fall down on your boom, JJ. We will, on the show today, I know it's time for me to get out of the way here. I don't know. I've got so much in front of me, I don't even know which one to push.
Well, go with the surprises line when you're not sure. You just go with lots of surprises.
Lots of surprises and swell conversations.
Yes, and John will be the first one surprised. Thanks for listening. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.